If we haven't met before, my name is Brandon Rockwell. I get to serve here at Christ Community as the high school director, so I'm hanging out with these guys all the time. It's a blast. So I'm very privileged to be with them. And again, encourage you, if you know somebody, to go check out Impact. If you're new here, welcome. We're so glad that you're here, and we'd love to meet you and get to know you. Would ask you to either scan the QR code in front of you or go check out the welcome desk back there. We'd love to get some info to get you connected with what's going on here at Christ Community. Who remembers what's happening in a couple weeks? Does anybody remember? Does anybody know what's happening? Is something big happening? I love that your hand's up. Easter's happening, right? Yeah. So in a couple weeks, Easter, we're going to celebrate what Jesus has done for us and the life we get to have in him and his victory over sin and death. And I want to challenge us as a church. I want to challenge us to ask God to lay one person on our heart, to think one person who does not have a relationship with Jesus that you can invite to church, that you invite here so that they can learn the life that and hope that we get to have in Jesus. And so to have an example, I have a video for us to watch, but I want you to be thinking during this video, who's that one that you can invite to church?
Hi, my name is Carla. This is my husband, Nate. We have been attending Christ Community Church now for about 11 years. We've been married for 26 years. We live in Rochester and we have two daughters. Our oldest is Lexi, who is 23, and Taylor is 20.
We ended up at CCC because I think we were looking for something that we were missing in our current situation at that time. We lived in the neighborhood, constantly driving by, seeing a parking lot full of vehicles on Saturday nights and Sundays, wondering what's going on inside there that is so special.
Well, we got to know the Andersons through our oldest daughters, Lexi, their daughter, Abby, our daughter, and they played basketball together. So at Christ started with basketball and then into softball. And we just hung out with them on the weekends a lot.
Was picking up one of the girls from a softball practice out at the complex and had the opportunity one-on-one with Wilbert.
I remember the field we were on, we were leaning up against the chain link fence and Nate asked me,
what is going on inside the walls of Christ Community? And so that was kind of the seed that was planted with Wilbert.
And then one thing led to another. We just started talking about church experiences and I just said, you should just come check it out. It's as simple as that.
Wilbert sending a text, hey, you want to join us at church next week? And of course it was, oh, we had something going on that was legitimate. And then there was that apprehension of, you know, do we want to take this next step and, you know, something that's different. We found a date that worked, and that's ultimately what got us in the door.
My personal faith prior to coming to Christ Community was really a religion that I followed versus what I found here was a relationship that you can have with Jesus.
I was good at going through the motions. It was not about a relationship. It was about, again, checking the box. To be very transparent, I am a recovering alcoholic and found sobriety ultimately while here. Since then, I've been baptized as well. My life has changed immensely from where I was to where I am now today.
We would always just kind of pray about, okay, Lord, we're gonna be meeting new people. Mm-hmm. Who do you want us to connect with? Just let it be very natural. You open the doors and let us just drop seeds, and mm-hmm. where those seeds land, it's where it's supposed to be.
The Lord calls us to meet, and we do that in the form of the church. And you never know if a family has a church home, or if they don't, or if they're looking, or you don't know. And you don't know unless you ask.
Jesus doesn't say we have to come in a certain way. We just have to come with open hearts.
Hey church, how you doing? Good, awesome to see you. Love that video, so thankful for the people that invited me to church. Met me there, what a beautiful thing that I get to experience. I could experience that as a kid. I don't know when you got to experience it, but you're here. Somebody invited you, and so we get the chance to pay that forward over these next couple weeks. I'm so glad you're here this weekend. Thanks for coming. If we haven't met, my name's Daryl. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really excited about our time together today. If you're new with us, well, shoot, none of you know this. So here we are in this week. What I'm excited about this week is usually we're in the middle of a 4, 5, 6 week series. We're wrapping one up. I've had this Bible verse kind of rattling around inside of me for a while and kind of something that's been helpful for me. And I thought, man, this would be helpful for our church, but it's 1 week long. And so there hasn't been like this one spot to be able to do it because we're always in the middle of a series, we're starting a series, something going. Well, here we are. We just last week wrapped up our series on the family. Next week is Palm Sunday heading into Easter. We got a 1 week deal. So I'm so excited for today that we get to hang out, spend some time together and explore together this one Bible verse that's been rattling around inside of me for a little while and stuff that I think is gonna be incredibly helpful for you. So I wanna talk with you this weekend about what's called spiritual disciplines. So we're just gonna bounce along the surface of this really deep subject. There's a lot of information on this, but where this started for me, this conversation for today started for me is from the writings of the ancient prophet Jeremiah. So he's writing about 600 years before Jesus was born. He's writing to the ancient people of God who were people. They're like us. They have the same challenges, the same struggles, look different in their context and their time, but they're just like us. And so he makes this really bold statement to them in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I'm the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So he's just calling people away from confidence in themselves and calling them towards knowing God. And he says, so don't let people boast. Like, don't boast. As a person, don't boast. If you're smart, don't boast in your wisdom. If you're rich, you're strong, don't boast in that. And the call in this really is because everything about us tends to have confidence in ourselves. When you strip it right down, when you think about it, we have confidence in ourselves, or some of us in someone else. If we're looking for who's gonna hold us up, When things are hard, who's gonna pick us up when we get knocked down, we always have a tendency to look inward. It's gonna be me, or it's gonna be this person who I'm banking on to help me out. And God calls people away from that. God calls us away from trusting in ourselves. And the reason he calls us away from trusting in ourselves is because he loves us. And he wants what's best for us. And he knows that at the end of the day, you and I do not have what it takes to hold ourselves up when life is hard, or to pick ourselves up when we get knocked down. We don't have what it takes. People who put their confidence in themselves will be eternally disappointed and eternally devastated by that decision. And so what God does is God calls us towards himself out of love for us and a desire to give to us what we're really looking for. And so this ancient prophet of God tells us, he says, don't put your trust in, if you're wise, don't put your trust in your wisdom. If you're strong, don't put your trust in your strength. If you're rich, don't put your trust in your riches. Here's what you can count on. Here's what you can bank on. Here's really what you're looking for. And I want you to notice in these verses, what God calls people to is, he says, I want you to know me. I want you to know me. And God makes this offer, it's just an invitation to regular people like you and me, that we could know him, that we could be in relationship with him. And he just says, hey, what I want for you, I don't want you to be eternally disappointed because you've been focused on yourself and trying to do it yourself. I want you to come to me and to be in relationship with me. And since it's a relationship, then you get to know stuff about me. You get to know who I am. The name that God uses for himself in these verses here, he talks about it, he calls himself the Lord. And that's his up close and personal name. Like, I'm this up close and personal God, and you could know things about me. And as you get to know me, like, that impacts your life. And so we stand under this invitation to be people who know the Lord. And it's this beautiful gift that God gives to us. It's this beautiful invitation that he makes to us. Jesus picks up on this when Jesus was on the earth, and towards the end of his life. It was right before he was headed to the cross, and he was praying for his followers. He was praying for his people, and in praying for them, he's talking to God about them, and he says, and he's praying that they would experience who God is, and then he makes this comment. He says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And that's kind of the point of life itself, that we would know God, the one true God, and Jesus, whom he has sent. That's eternal life. I think for most of us, when we think about eternal life, what comes to mind for us is heaven. It's a place, right? And whatever picture you get in your mind when you think about heaven, but that's not what eternal life really is. Eternal life is a relationship. It's about knowing God, and it's about knowing Jesus, being in relationship with him. And when you think about heaven, and if you think about streets of gold and bright light and beautiful spot, like what a great place for this relationship to happen, right? For this relationship for all eternity to be expressed. It's kind of like the box for a jewelry box for a really nice ring. I mean, like, should be really nice, right? This relationship that we're offered will take place in this, but eternal life is knowing God. It's knowing the Lord. It's being in relationship with him, and we're invited into this relationship that you and I could experience. And so what I want to talk about with us today is I want to talk with you about knowing the Lord, about knowing the Lord, and about how you could know the Lord, and how this could be part of your life, and whether you're first time at church or just checking us out online, or whether you've been around forever, this idea of knowing the Lord, like this is the point. This is the life and the light that Jesus offers to people, that we could know the one true God and his son, Jesus, whom he sent, and we could know what kind of God he is and what he has for us, and we could have eternal life today. You don't have to wait for heaven for eternal life to start, because eternal life's about a relationship. And so we get to live in the framework of eternal life. And so I want to talk with you about knowing the Lord. Now, as we step into the things, I've got to give us a little bit of framework, base this so that we know where we're talking about. So we know the Lord first, foremost, only through Jesus. Right, only through Jesus. Jesus made this really bold statement. He said of himself, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So you cannot know God apart from Jesus. We get to be in relationship with Jesus. This is really the first yes for somebody who wants to know the Lord, is to say yes to this invitation that Jesus gives to us. He offers us forgiveness for our sins. That was why he died on the cross. That was the whole point of his death on the cross, was so that our sins could be forgiven. He didn't die for himself, he died for us. And he didn't die because of things that he had done, he died because of things that we have done. And so he died in our place, he's our substitute, and to say yes to this forgiveness that he offers to us, and then he rose again from the dead, and so he offers us eternal life. Like, he offers us life that lives forever. And so that's the very first yes that a person who's gonna know the Lord is saying yes to Jesus and to this forgiveness and this life that he offers to us. And really the things I wanna talk with you about today, these spiritual disciplines that we're gonna talk about today, they'll lead you one of two places. If you have not said this yes to Jesus, they'll either lead you back to this first yes, because this is the starting place, or they'll lead you way off into the weeds. And so if you're just checking this out and you're trying to figure some things out, the first yes, the starting point for this, is always with that yes to Jesus, because we don't know the Lord apart from that yes to him. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. So we get to know the Lord first through Jesus, and second with the Holy Spirit as our guide. So God the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in Jesus, God the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and one of the things that he does for us is he guides us, and Jesus told us this. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. And so we rely on God the Holy Spirit to guide us. And again, if we're talking about some habits and practices in our lives, if it's apart from Jesus and apart from the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it goes bad places for us. And I'll highlight some of those a little later in our time together. But we know the Lord through Jesus and with the Holy Spirit as our guide. So hold on to those two things. And then this third statement here to know is, Jesus said it. It's 100% true. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. What do I mean by that? Like we sit here in church, and I'm talking about knowing the Lord. And you know, when you know the Lord, all the goodness that comes into your life. And so your heart wells up this big old yes. Like, yes, I'm yes to knowing the Lord. I'm a yes to this. And then we leave church and we go back out into our real life. And that big old yes that we say as we sit here, that our spirit says as we sit here, that big old yes gets drowned out by the stuff that's going on in our real life. Good stuff, like family and friends and work and hard stuff, the stress, the anxiety that we feel in our life. Like that big old yes that we say in church doesn't always make it out. The spirit's willing, but the flesh, like, part that lives in the everyday world, man, it's weak and to carry out the yeses that we say in church. So what we're talking about today is knowing the Lord, our spirit's willing, our flesh is weak. I wanna talk to you about some things that Christian people for centuries, Christian people, not just in the West, Christian people around the globe for centuries have practiced in their life as pathways to knowing the Lord. Because the spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. And so these practices of Christian people over the centuries really kind of add strength and structure to our lives to support the yeses that we want to say to these beautiful things that God is offering to us. And so we're going to talk about how we know the Lord through these spiritual disciplines. I'll tell you at the front end. So for me, on the subject of spiritual disciplines, the person who has been the most influential is a guy named Richard Foster in his book called The Celebration of Discipline. His work is the structure of the rest of this message. I don't want him to get all the blame for what I'm saying, but if you hear anything that is like helpful or particularly enlightening to you, it probably came from Foster. There've been some other writers who have been really helpful for me. Donald Whitney, Philip Nation, A.W. Tozer have all been really helpful. There's a guy who's writing right now, John Mark Comer. You might have heard his name. I haven't read his books yet, but one of his books is on the top of my pile to read, and I'm expecting it to be incredibly helpful because of all the recommendations that I've received. So this is a subject that has been written on, researched, and since we're just going to skip along the surface, I wanted you to hear some of those names if this intrigues you and you want to jump in a little farther to some of these things. But how do we help the weakness of our human frailty, as the scripture calls it? How do we help ourselves? How does God help us as we say, keep saying the yes to the things that we are saying yes to as we sit here? So let me kind of walk you through some of these spiritual disciplines. The organization will talk first about inward disciplines. So these are stuff that happens inside of you. The greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with your heart and soul and your mind, right? The inward part of who you are, as well as your strength. We have this beautiful privilege of being able to know the Lord in our deepest parts. And so we get to share with him, he sees, but we get to share with him who we are. And he responds and reveals himself to us as well. And so we can know the depths of who he is as he knows the depths of who we are. And so these inward disciplines start with Bible intake. And that's Philip Nation's language. And depends on who you read, it kind of can get pretty broad, but if you summarize it down, you can read the Bible. Just read it. It's a book. It's a book, and it's an old book, and it's a translated book. It was written in other languages. But each of those little, we call them books of the Bible. The Bible's made up of 66 books. Some of them are actually like historical with stories, and some of them are letters that ancient people have written to other people. But it's a book, and you can just read it. And I remember when I started reading it, it was when I realized that like this was something that you could read. It was transforming for me. And so you can read the Bible. You can study the Bible like you study other books. If you had a literature class in in school, or if you study as part of your current occupation, vocation, you can study the Bible the same way you study other things. And again, I remember when the light bulb went off for me of like, oh, I could not just read this, I could actually study it, pay attention to things, learn, try to learn the content of what's in here. And then the third little part of Bible intake is meditation, which is not reading big chunks and not studying, but taking small portions, like a sentence, and letting that sentence just become part of who you are. And so spending time with a sentence from the Bible, and maybe it's just, you're just quiet and you just read that same sentence over and over again. Some people found great benefit where they will read that sentence and they will emphasize differently each word as they read it through that time. And then they just kind of let that sit on them. And often meditation will have some journaling that goes along with it. But taking small portions of the scripture and just letting that soak into the depths of who you are. And so Bible intake is incredibly important as we think about knowing the Lord. Now I'm gonna show you a quote by a guy named A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer he wrote this in 1948. So he is one of the great thinkers, great writers, great pastor of the previous generation. He's part of our denomination. So this quote doesn't necessarily need to go to every church out there, but speaking to Christian people like us, this quote is helpful for me. So A.W. Tozer writes this. He says that we Christians are in real danger of losing God amid the wonders of his word. So here's why I thought it's important for us to see that today. So just because you know the Bible doesn't mean you know the Lord. Okay? Just because you know the Bible doesn't mean you know the Lord. Now, having said that, hear this part, because I don't want an email from somebody until you hear this part. You cannot know God if you ignore your Bible. Right? You cannot put your Bible on the shelf and walk away from it and know God. Bible intake is an incredibly important part of knowing the Lord. But just because you know what's in the Bible doesn't mean you know the Lord. And so those of us who are maybe bent towards Bible reading, Bible study, we are intrigued by it, we have to stop and like, what's the point? The point is to know the Lord. And so not to know the Bible, but to know the Lord. And so we should stop and say, hey, am I losing who God is amidst the wonders of his word? Or am I engaged with his word and getting to know him? All right, so Bible intake. We start with Bible intake. The second inward discipline is prayer. Prayer. Definition we use around here, talking with my Heavenly Father. That's what prayer is. And simplicity of that definition is important for us because you can't mess prayer up. You just can't mess up. The only way to mess up prayer is by not doing it. And so you have this beautiful invitation from God to know him and for him to take your cares, your worries, your concerns, to be invited into your life like prayer. We get to talk with our Heavenly Father. And as we are open to him in prayer, like we are open to the deepest parts of who we are, he makes himself known to us as well. It's a talking, not a talking to, but a talking with. So I'm not gonna spend any more time on prayer because like the first 6 weeks of this year, we spent time talking about prayer. And if you want some more, like you could go back and listen to those sermons on the web. But prayer, inward discipline is prayer. And then the third one of these inward disciplines for our time together, there are more, but the third one for our time together is fasting. And fasting is technically in the Bible, it's going without food to focus on the Lord. So if you're a person who says the Bible intake thing, I'm fairly faithful at that. Like I think I'm knowing the Lord through Bible intake, and that prayer thing for me is that's an important deal, and I practice that. This fasting might be your next step. Fasting is going without food to focus on the Lord. And if you work your way through the Bible about the reasons different people fast, there are a number of them. Jesus assumed his people would fast. It's part of the Old Testament where God's relationship with the ancient nation of Israel, it was part of that. It's practiced in the New Testament, the church, God's people of God that we're part of today. Like it's part of the deal, going without food. You can go without food for a day, for 3 days, for there's long fast in the Bible. It's a lot of different things. The purpose of fasting, kind of just summarize it a little bit. Often people fast when there's something intense going on in their lives. And often it is opposition in some way. It's a negative experience and there's something intense that's happening in their lives. And they go without food really as a way of meeting that intensity in their life, like to bring spiritual intensity to their prayers and spiritual focus to their lives. When people don't know what to do next and they're seeking God's guidance, they will fast. And really what that is what happens is when you're saying no to your physical needs, your spiritual ears perk up and your spiritual eyes seem to get, your vision gets clearer. And so they'll fast in order to be able to hear the voice of God more clearly, see the way that God's laying out for them. And so fasting is this inward discipline that helps us spiritual intensity. So going without food for a period of time, And it just kind of, it ramps up our spiritual life, our spiritual well-being, and it's an opportunity to know the Lord. It's an opportunity to know the Lord. So those are three of the inward disciplines. And as these inward disciplines, as we practice them in our lives, they begin to, because we're knowing the Lord at the deepest parts of who we are, then there's this transformation that begins to take place. And so then we get to express that. We get to express this transformation as it's happening in our lives. And so there are some outward disciplines that we can practice. The first one is solitude, and that's being alone to be with the Lord. It's being alone to be with the Lord, and you don't necessarily have to be away from people to be alone. Some people have the ability to just kind of go into, like you can be in a crowded coffee shop and it just could be you and the Lord. Many of us aren't wired that way, but some of us are. And so Jesus practiced solitude. One of my favorite statements in Luke chapter 5, verse 16 talks about Jesus. It says that he often withdrew to the wild places for prayer. And so he would get away from all the commotion and all the chaos. Jesus was a sought-after guy. People were always looking for him. And the people who were around him were always wanting his attention and always asking questions. And if you've read stories of Jesus' life, you know. And so what Jesus did was he took time to get away from all of that. And so he would get away from all of that in order to spend time with our Heavenly Father. And so this idea of being in solitude. I remember for myself, when I first started to think about solitude, it was a busy day at the office, and it was a hectic day at the office, and it was about 20 years ago, and it was lunchtime. And my plan was to run, pick up some lunch, come back to work, and just keep grinding. You know how it is some days at work. And so I ran, and I got my food, and the last place I wanted to be for the next 45 minutes was back at the office. And so I sat down in the restaurant by myself to eat my lunch. And I was incredibly uncomfortable just being by myself in that room full of people to be by myself was an incredibly uncomfortable experience for me. And so I remember thinking like, oh, I need to learn how to be alone. I need to learn how to be alone. And so like it started for me in learning how to be alone, to be by yourself. Because when you're alone, like now you're alone. You're alone with your thoughts. You're alone with what's going on inside of you, like you're alone with all that. There's not a lot of distraction. There's not, and it's a great opportunity to learn to be not just alone, but to be alone with the Lord. And so he gets a chance to engage with what you've got going on inside of you. And so solitude is often practiced with prayer and fasting. And so solitude is a great outward discipline. The second one is submission. And I love, this is Foster's definition of laying down the terrible burden of always needing to get my own way. It is exhausting if you always have to have your own way, and recognizing that. And Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament calls us to be people who submit to one another. And so to live in submission to other people, there's this great benefit of being able to to stop trying to get my own way and to let somebody else have their way, to let it go somebody else's direction. And so to live in submission to others. And then the last one is service. And again, this is Foster's definition of dying the little deaths to go beyond myself. Because it's hard to live in the background. It's hard to live as the one who's bringing food to the table and cleaning up the dishes. And it's hard to live in service. And yet, we see in Jesus, right before he heads to the cross, he meets with his followers, meal he has with his followers, he washes their feet at the front of that. And so Jesus practiced submission and service, submission to the Father's will, going to the cross and practices service by washing his followers' feet. And so you and I, as people who know him and get to follow in his steps, we get to be people who serve. And you can do that in a number of ways. You can do that formally. You can be on a serving team around here, which is a great way to serve and to put other people above yourselves. You can serve, have a mindset of servant when you're at your workplace, out in the community, in your neighborhood. One of my friends, I was with him. I hadn't been with him for a while. He lives in another state, and we hadn't been around each other for a while, and so we were back together, and he kept picking up trash on the street. And finally, I was like, dude, what are you doing? Because like we were stopping. It wasn't our trash. It wasn't stuff that we were throwing down. It was just stuff that was there. And this is, he told me, he says, I'm practicing the discipline of service. Just feel like the Lord has told me I need to be somebody who picks up trash. Wow, I'm glad the Lord told you that, man, not me. But just that willingness to die the little deaths. You know, die the little deaths to go beyond ourselves. Because again, we all are bent towards ourselves and service, it's small acts. You know, many of us would, if it were a grand gesture, we'll do it. But if it's a small thing, we struggle. And this discipline of service lets us see small things and step into them and go beyond ourselves so that we're drawn to knowing the Lord through service because Jesus came to serve and not to be served. And so he meets us in that. So there's these outward disciplines. So the inward disciplines, they begin to transform us and they express themselves in ways in our lives, outward discipline. And then there are corporate disciplines. So these are disciplines that we practice together because, you know, like being a Christian is a team sport. Christian who's alone, Christian who's doing it on their own, like that person's in trouble. When you're isolated, when you're all by yourself, it's just me and God, that's good enough. Like that's not true. We need each other. And so God has given us community where we get to be together in our life. And so there's some corporate disciplines where we get to know the Lord together. And I think this is so cool because again, we know God individually, we have a personal relationship with him. And throughout the Bible, like we're referred to as the family of God, it's family language. And so you know, you're part of a family, you know that there are, like you have an individual relationship. Marie and I were just with our kids and grandkids. And so we have an individual relationship with each person who was part of this gathering, and we love being together because we know each other together as well. And if we were never together, like our relationship is less than. So when we have these corporate relationships where we know God together, it adds depth and it adds texture to our relationships. And so our relationship with him, and so these corporate disciplines that we practice, the purpose of knowing the Lord. So the first one, and again, these aren't all of them, but the first one is worship. Worship. We get to respond to God together with love and with adoration and with praise. We get to say we loved him because he loves us, right? He has declared his love for us. And so we get to respond with love for him, and not just as individuals, but we get to do that together. And it's this beautiful thing that we're part of. And I think it's important to think about worship as an opportunity to know the Lord. It's an opportunity to know the Lord. It's not just about singing if you like music, or not singing if you don't like music, or it's an opportunity to know the Lord. When we offer him our worship, our love, our adoration, and praise. When we move towards him, we're responding. He moves into us. He moves towards us. And so we get this opportunity to know him. Worship, our time of worship, especially as we express it through singing, that's not just about like taking up 30 minutes before the sermon or preparing our hearts for the sermon. Like that worship has value in and of itself because it's an opportunity for us together to respond to God with love and adoration and praise. And as we worship him, he moves towards us. It's an important thing that we do together. And it's a discipline. As you're here, so maybe I should look at the camera and talk to people who aren't here, right? We're here. There's so many things that get in the way of us being here. And once you're in the room or part of the service, it's difficult to stay engaged and to stay, it's a discipline. And we dial in as the people of God and who he is and respond to him and to what he has done for us with love and with adoration and with praise. So worship. The second one is guidance. This is not a popular one in 21st century West, America particularly. We are independent people. We're private. We want to make our own decisions. But we actually have the opportunity to discern the will of God in community. So this is probably not going to happen in a room this size with this many people. But in your small group, your life group people that you're part of, your people who are your people, and you have the opportunity to share with them the things that are going on in your life and the decisions that you have to make and the unknowns that are out there in front of you. You have people present who know the Lord and who know you, who love the Lord, who love you, and you have an opportunity to prayerfully listen to God together about what should be next, and not necessarily the group makes the decision for you, but you can know God together. In the intimacy of a small group, you can know the Lord together and you can know what he has for you or for them. Like we have opportunity to know him as he makes his way known to us in our lives. We have this beautiful opportunity to seek guidance amongst the people of God. God speaks to us together. He speaks to us through one another. And so we have this beautiful invitation really to know the Lord by being together and seeking his guidance when we're together. And then this last one, as a corporate discipline, is to celebrate. Celebration. And stirring up joy in our relationship with God and our obedience to him. We get to celebrate. And if you read through the scriptures, God's people celebrate. And they celebrate when things are good, and they celebrate when things are hard. For me, probably the most difficult time to celebrate, to stir up joy, is when things are medium. You think about that in your life. Like when things are good, of course we're going to celebrate. And when things are hard, this is one of the things we do. This is where life and hope are found in our relationship with God and stirring up joy and strengthening ourselves in who God is and what he does for us. It's when they're medium. And so we have this invitation to know the Lord no matter what's going on in your life, either extreme or when you're just kind of in the middle and it's just like, oh, we have a chance to stir up the joy of the Lord in our relationship with him and in our obedience to him. And so we gather for these kinds of things. We have this, again, this great opportunity to know the Lord, not just individually, not just in your private relationship with him. What a privilege that you have a private relationship, a personal relationship with God, and then that we get to know him together. Because that's the point. Right? That's the point. Our confidence, we just drift to ourselves, to confidence in ourselves, to hoping in ourselves, to boasting in, putting our confidence, our own wisdom, our own strength, our own riches, our own resources. And people who do that will be eternally disappointed. But people who boast in the Lord, and not just in him, but that they know him, that their confidence is in knowing him, we get to experience eternal life. We would know the one true God and his son, Jesus, whom he sent. And that's what we want. And that's what we want. We want to be people who know the Lord. And as we know him, then what we have the beautiful privilege to do is to introduce other people to him. And then we get to follow him together. This is what I want for me. I want it for me because this is where life is. This is where the good stuff is. I want it for you because this is where we get to experience the goodness of God in our own lives. We get to experience it together. So I would like to wrap up my time with you by praying for us. Would you please bow your head and close your eyes with me, and I'll pray for us, and then Brandon will come out and wrap us up. So Father, thank you for making yourself known. Thank you for being a God who knows us, who loves us, and who wants to be known by us. So for myself, for my friends who are part of this worship service, we're saying yes to this invitation that you are offering to us. We want to know you. We want to know you more. So we'll give ourselves to this pursuit of who you are and what you want to offer of yourself to us. We want to know you. And so would you stir that up in our lives? Would you remind us that you see us and you know us, and that there's great value for us to know you and you're willing to be known? So we want to seek you. Seek you individually. Seek you in our small groups. We'll seek you together. We gather on weekends. And we seek you. There's so much goodness for us. And so, Jesus, all of this comes to us through you. And so we're saying yes to it, and we're praying these things in your name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Love you. Brandon?
Thank you, Daryl, for the message. And I love the point that you made about it's about knowing Jesus. It's all about knowing him more. These disciplines aren't for the super righteous people, but it's for all of us. And it's a way that we get to know him more and have a deeper relationship with him and a life with him that's so much deeper than anything else we can have, and a life that's fulfilling and satisfying and that will never leave us alone ever, because he is always there and he's always there for us. I want to remind us of Easter in a couple weeks and that challenge to invite somebody. We will have a Good Friday service on the 26th, as you can see on the screen. That'll be at 6 o'clock. I would invite you to come to that and remember what Jesus has done for us. And then our Easter services, we'll have one on Saturday at 5:30, but then three services on Sunday, one at 8:30, one at 9:45, and one at 11. We'd love to see you there and love it if you would bring somebody along with you. Last thing. If you need prayer based off of what Daryl has shared today or about anything at all, I would invite you to stay a little bit afterwards and come on up, and we'd love to pray for you. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend.